Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
We now go to the former DA in Erie County, John Flynn. Hey, John, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Joe, how are you, buddy?
Doing all right. Let's talk about the no bail and how that played in this case, John. So this was a man who was released in 23 after being found guilty of pleading guilty to second-degree murder in 96. He gets out of jail, and then he breaks, 2 years later, he breaks into the woman he was seeing's house with a gun, arrested. How is that guy let back on the street?
Well, you talked about it, you know, when I was listening to you here in the last segment there a little bit. I mean, we have a bail reform system here now, or a bail system here that has been in existence now for 5 years now, that came into effect in 2020, that, quite frankly, is not only failing our community, Joe, but it is failing every resident in New York State. That is one of many problems that we have, regarding the criminal justice system. But we have a society now where the term accountability and responsibility are missing. And they're missing those two words and that those two concepts, in my opinion, are not only missing in our criminal justice system, but they are missing in our entire culture. There's a lot to this. My understanding in this case right here, a lot of things happened here. First of all, just to be fair, okay, the Buffalo Police Department used a phrase and a word today in their press conference, and so I want to be careful that our listeners understand this. You know, they initially used the word or phrase "person of interest," and then a little later on in their press conference they said "suspect." Okay, now again, those are kind of semantics. All right. You know, when I was DA, I would use the phrase "person of interest" kind of in a literal sense where, you know, hey, I'm not sure this guy did it or this girl did it, but I'm interested in this person. OK, when I use the word "suspect," that takes it up a notch, in my opinion, where, you know, it's a little bit more than a person of interest. If you're a suspect, then again, literally the word "suspect" means that I suspect this person of doing it. Okay, that's a little bit of a difference. And you know, he might have, or I think he did it. Okay, so again, whether it's a person of interest or a suspect, you know, right? This particular individual was convicted of murder back in 1996. He was given a 25-year-to-life sentence. So the way this works is that when you hit year 25, actually a little bit before that, because you get time for good time, okay? But let's just use round numbers here, all right? When you hit year 25, okay, which in this case would have been 2021, give them time for good time, okay, year 2020, you are now eligible to get out. Okay. And he was let out on parole in 2020. So this particular individual here did really the minimum amount of time on his 25-year-to-life sentence. Okay. He did just the 25 years. Okay. And then got out. So now he's out on parole in 2020. Apparently he was released from parole in 2023. All right. So he was let out a little early on parole. His parole would normally go to 2025, okay? But he was let, it appears. Again, I haven't seen the file, so I'm speculating on that. But I do know that he was paroled in 2023, like you said, okay? So now he's in 2023, Joe. He's free and clear, okay? He's got nothing hanging over his head at all. I mean, yeah, granted, he's a convicted felon. He's a convicted murderer, okay? So he's got that, like, you know, scarlet letter, you know, seared on his chest, all right? But beside that, from a legal standpoint, he's clear. Now we fast forward 2 years later now to 2025, to May, you know, 2 months ago. And he is, you know, he gets arrested in a domestic violence charge, arrested for burglary, having a gun, you know, this involvement with this particular woman, all right, who unfortunately was murdered last night, okay? So now he gets arrested in May, 2 months ago, and the DA's office, rightfully so, asks for remand. No bail. He sits in jail. Well, the judge put bail on him. The judge put $50,000 bail on him, okay, gave a number when the DA didn't ask for that. The DA said, no number, judge, keep him in jail. The judge put a number on him, 50 grand, and he made the bail, okay? All right. Now he makes a bail. Within my understanding, allegedly, within 2 weeks, he goes back to the same woman, okay, and harasses her. And violated the order of protection that was given in the first arrest back in May. All right. So now he comes back to the judge, okay, on the second offense now. And again, the DA asks for bail again. Now, again, remind you, Joe, this second offense is not bail eligible, okay? It was only a violation of the order of protection, okay? That's not bail eligible. But because he was out on bail in the first offense, it made it bail eligible, all right? So in terms of bail reform, there's really nothing wrong here in this case because, again, the second one he was bail eligible on, okay? But the judge released him, though. The judge disregarded the DA's recommendation, and the judge released him on his own recognizance. And then, you know, again, we don't know whether he did it or not today. He's a person mentioned or a suspect, okay? But now here we are, you know, 2 months later on July 17th, and this morning this poor woman gets murdered. So, I mean, again, there's a lot to talk about there as far as, you know, what's wrong in our criminal justice system from, you know, letting someone out right away at 25 years. Again, remember, he was sentenced to 25 to life, okay? He, you know, you can make the argument he should have been in prison for life, all right? But, you know, the parole board system let him out at 25 years. And then he was released on parole early. Okay. That's obviously something we can talk about. Okay. And then here we are 2 years later. And now this poor girl's dead. So, you know, many things here, Joe.
Yeah. So John, the first one, the one in May when he's arrested and the DA says, hey, we want to keep him. And the judge says, no, before the bail reform, would the judge have had that opportunity to override the DA?
Yes. But here's the main difference though, Joe. The judge always has the opportunity to override a DA. Okay. Judges decide bail, not DAs. Okay.
Right.
But here's the main difference. Before 2020, before bail reform started on January 1st, 2020, there was really no kind of overriding guideline from a 30,000 foot level. A macro level, okay, as to what the mantra of bail was all about, okay? But it was each individual case. It was obviously predicated upon a flight risk analysis, all right? That was the kind of way bail worked generally, okay? Come January 1st, 2020, when they passed a law in 2019, the New York State Legislature, in the statute of bail reform, mandated that judges going forward on January 1st, 2020, use the least restrictive means necessary or possible when determining to set bail. So that mantra of least restrictive means now, okay, was put in place by the New York State Legislature, okay, signed by Governor Cuomo, and took effect on January 1st, 2020, which now kind of governs every judge in New York State on every case that's bail eligible. Even if a case is bail eligible, you're supposed to use the least restrictive means. Okay. Now, what does that mean on a micro level? Like, you know, in real life, the least restrictive means, if you're a judge, okay, is what is the least amount of thing I can do here in order to keep this guy out of jail? Because again, remember that's what they want here. Okay. No, the criminal defense bar, the criminal defense advocates, you know, social justice advocates, they're the one who wrote the bill back in 2019, okay? And they're the ones that wrote the legislation up, you know, put it on the senators and assembly members' desk, okay, that got passed in 2019. And what do those people want? The activists who are for criminal justice reform and social justice, what do they want? They want everyone out of jail. They think that bail is bad. Okay. And so when you have a concept now of least restrictive means, that's kind of hanging over judges' heads, then the judge is going to say, well, the least restrictive means here is the DA saying keep him in, the defense lawyer saying let him out. Well, I've got to kind of gear toward the defense, the defense lawyer here, and I'm going to put a number on him of, you know, in this case, it was $50,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the big difference.
John, I got 30 seconds and two questions. If with the background he had, how did he not get jail time for a unlicensed gun charge? And number two, why even file an order of protection if it's not bail eligible?
Well, first question is that the case in May is still pending. Okay, both of those cases that happened in May and then 2 weeks later, they have not been adjudicated yet. They're still pending. All right, so he was basically out on bail when this happened. You know, this morning. Okay, so that's answer question number one. Number two is that they always put an order of protection on a case whenever there's a domestic violence case. All right, so when he got arrested initially. Back in May, they're going to the DA is going to ask for an order of protection to make sure that the person doesn't go back and do something else to this girl. Now, obviously, an order of protection is just a piece of paper. Yeah. And unfortunately, a piece of paper cannot save a life.
No. Hey, former DA John Flynn. John, always great catching up with you. I hate doing it under these circumstances, but I know we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir, Joe.
That is former District Attorney John Flynn on this case.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.